American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, June 30th, 2005. What a rocking day we got going on today, because this is Newsreel, your daily report as the wild counterculture defeats the fucking evil of those core political bastards out there that are trying to control your world. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. Once you're there, you'll be able to read up on the entire thing. You'll be able to see what I'm doing, what's happening, my schedule, and God knows what else I choose to port out to the World Wide Web and everyone else who happens to give any kind of remote shit about my life. This is a free radio broadcast, which incidentally... It's kind of funny that people would think that my live journal isn't really becoming my live journal anymore. There's a lot of people that go there and post stuff, and it's becoming like a weird sort of communal meeting spot online. And I don't have a problem with that, I should state. I mean, I just sort of started it as something to do. I never really have a lot of intention with a lot of the crap I do. Just kind of say, this would be cool, and then I do it. And then, you know, that way you never can really do anything wrong because you have no expectations. I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some Zen shit in there somewhere. But that's sort of how I started my live journal, and I like the way everything's going. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are going there checking that stuff out. If you haven't had a chance to actually go to the live journal and see what's going on there and check out what I'm doing, those good people down there, well, they got a really nice chunk of bandwidth, and I guess we're doing some good. You know, I've got some feedback from some people, and Tanya was talking to me. It's really, really neat. So, you know, if you just as a footnote, if you haven't actually gone to LiveJournal and checked the stories, you probably should, because most people don't go there for my comments, I don't think. I think most people go there for everybody else's comments, and I'm okay with that. But back to my show format. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and holy shit, have I had too much coffee. But you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast with coffee. Use it as a coaster. No, I'm kidding. You can't actually use an audio program as a coaster unless you turn up the bass really loud and it creates a suspension field using the ionosphere, and then therefore the coffee will simply hover in 0G. And let me tell you, 0G coffee is some pretty goddamn strong coffee. But that said, I am really happy today. Things are moving along very, very nicely. Things are moving up. We're going to be getting out there. Going to do some Buddhist footage with Sim later, which a lot of people got some email. Where's Sim? Where's Sim? Not to worry. Sim will be around. He is currently on vacation, so he's been beating my back in order to make sure that we get out there and do some filming. But never mind the filming. Let's get us straight into some feedback. Dear Sean, in regards to anorexia and bulimia, it occurs mostly among females, 98 to 99%. However, in high school, I learned that one of my male peers was among the few 1 to 2% of victims with this disorder. Which, don't laugh, when you're dealing with a couple billion people in the world, 1 or 2% is a lot of people. This is a mental programming glitch, just like other issues you address on your show. The victims are corporate brainwashing in regards to appearance and health propaganda. I was the first to clue in that something was off with this guy, and my other male friends quickly helped up with the follow-up. Let's just call him Joe, not his real name. Joe was obsessed with his appearance, clothing, and hair. Well, you know, a lot of us are. Most of us just assumed correctly that it was a front for his inward problems and cut him some slack. No shit. Because the lunch crowd we hung out with a bunch of freaks and weirdos with their own damage. Of course, everybody's got their own damage. That's why the wogs are growing in power. There's more damage than there are normal. And pretty soon, oh, we're going to change what the term normal really means. So most of us just look forward to lunchtime as a reprieve socially, happily, and accepted for an hour. Or happily to be accepted for an hour. Myself, I was one of the last semester of high school finally trying to support myself at the same time. So at a few lunch hours with no lunch to eat, painfully aware of my situation, I pointed out that I wasn't the only one who was seen not to eat. Joe was often seen with no more than a coffee, half a muffin, or a cigarette, usually one of the three. As well, he seemed to have some pocket money to spend on the girls. At first, I speculated he was dealing drugs, something else for the ease of money. Then it just kind of came up in group conversation that he was a part of, as we tried to make sense of some Joe's... It came up in a group conversation that he was part of as we tried to make sense of Joe's cocky remarks. The guy was a mess inside, unable to deal with a broken family life. I started to see that this was the one thing he could control for some semblance of who he was. His diets and appearance gave him a sense of control on his depressed and lonely life. I could go into more detail, but I'll just wrap it up in saying that our group as individuals took a life of its own with mostly people I had no idea of getting involved. I did notice with Glee as well, the female human parasites who latched on to his gifts tried to deal with the fact that they were enabling his self-destructive behavior. Even the people who didn't like Joe were supported or at least very neutral, because it's one thing to dislike someone, it's another one to wish them dead. Sean, please treat these people as brainwashed sheeple they are, in reference to the Anna Mia crowd. In the need of deprogramming, compassion, friendship, and love. Your model for dealing with Scientologist Tom Cruise would serve these people as well. Thanks for caring, Sean. Keep fighting the tyranny and sending you the data. You keep writing as you do, keep ranting as you do best. And that was sent to me by Bucky Fuller. So it seems that this Anna Mia thing has produced a lot of feedback. A lot of people are talking about that, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing because you have to have communication in order for everything to work. You know what I mean? If nobody's talking, nothing's getting done. Dear Sean, I heard your show, and I thought it was great. My good friend, Rory, sent you that feedback on aspartame warning, and I was the guy who printed off the warning and sent it to my dad. But I also did some personal research on aspartame. Good. Never trust anything I say. I could be a shill. And noticed that there is this chemical that is aspartame, yet it has a different name in almost every type of sugar-free gum. The chemical is called phenylalanine. Most people would not pay attention to that, so I printed off the piece of information too and sent it to my dad. When my dad mentions this warning on the air, I will be sure to have him mention your show when he broadcasts this warning over the air and the URL to your site too. Thanks. Well, thank you. And that's from Caleb Thacker from Kendallville, Indiana. Well, thank you very, very much. And incidentally, if you dig the show, you know, there's a lot of people say, geez, I wish I could donate. Believe you me, money is good. Yes, send money. No, seriously, but money is good. You know, don't get me wrong, because that way I can, you know, build my healing center on Vancouver Island where I can put in the CNC machines and start making mecha. And in all honesty, I'm not kidding. That's actually what I'd do. I mean, seriously, what the hell else would I do? A lot of people ask me that. They're like, Sean, what would you do if you were rich? I mean, yeah, okay, after the whirlwind tour on the BMW, what the hell would you do, really? I mean, I'd rather skip the whirlwind tour because I've been around the planet once already anyway, and I get to go all over the place. Yeah, we go to some conventions and stuff like that, but eventually traveling gets old. You want to do something productive. So me personally, I got a short list of people who I would like to get involved and open up an actual kind of retreat, like a WOG place where people anywhere in the world could go on Vancouver Island. Make it like a, well, bare bones, bottom charging bed and breakfast that's set up sort of like this weird server temple with Wi-Fi access. I mean, there's nothing like it exists in the world right now, trust me. But that's what I do with the cash. At least that's the latest incarnation, according to my caffeine-ridden brain. Now, moving right along. Morning, Sean! I'll keep this short. If one was to take a look at the really big-time important stories that have been mentioned on Newsreel, and, well, there's some extremely scary and relevant stories in there. Thank you. Now, this is my idea, so pay up. Pick, say, 10 or 20 of your choice or listener stories and do an end-of-the-year holy shit roundup over and go over all the big stories. It's not just some best of newsreel rehash of rehash Sour Hour show. It would be a chance to basically say it's been a long year, so let's review what we as WOGs need to attend to first if we're ever going to start putting a fresh coat of paint on Fixer of what we call Earth. There is so much happening. Prioritized or be brutalized by core politicals. That's a great line. That's from Healthy Fire. Prioritize or be brutalized. Very true. Very, very true. Now, at an end-of-the-year show, I mean, I'm only, what, are we halfway through the year here? So do you think I should do an end-of-the-year show? Because I happen to have kept every single one of my show formats, which is rare for me. Usually I do a very Buddhist thing, and I go through all of my mail, and I delete everything, and I just don't care. That's why people, you know, thank you so much. All you people who send in stories and stuff like that, I mean, my one-word responses are just, you know, almost legendary now. It's like, cool, thanks, very cool, wow, that's sick. But I do actually read the stories, it's just that I'm dealing with such a massive volume, you can appreciate how much, you know, how much mail I have to throw back at you. So I appreciate very much that no one's really bitched me out for that. I also have noticed that a lot of people are taking their return address out of their email. I don't mind replying if you don't mind getting the one-word answer. You know what I mean? But thank you so much. Everyone has been helping me so much. The show would suffer without all of you. So the way I see it, although, yeah, blah, blah, you know, Sean Kennedy, all the rest of it, it really is more your show than my show. Dear Sean, how's it hanging, man? Listen, I've always wondered what your plan is with dealing with the whole following that you are accumulating and what you would do with a few pigeons who flew too far from the cuckoo's nest. And is that how you spell cuckoo? I don't know if that's how you spell cuckoo. C-O-O-C-O-O? I have no idea. The reason I ask is simple. I am my own person. Thank you, God. I know that you have seen my show, Force of One, or at least heard about it. Yes, I have ever seen your show. I think that I'm wrong when I choose to be out there directly speaking with people and interacting with them, when you choose to stay behind the scenes. I admire you for that. Oh, okay, I envy you for that, you bastard. Yes, yes, it does show up. I know the Force of One guy exactly. But seriously, why do some of the nut jobs think that what you say is the only truth in the world? They should consider the possibility that you do what you do better. What you do to better others and benefit all people, not to become the dictatorial voice that resounds over millions of eager minions. What the hell are you talking about, dude? I'm going to be Charles Manson! No, I'm kidding. I understand that some people need leadership, but we can all be leaders in our own ways. We can all be great if we just work at it. I know you understand this, Sean, but some people, Christ, man, dense does not even get near the tip of the iceberg. True that? Another question, if you do not mind, why do some people take you so seriously? Instead of taking the effort to do better in their own lives, they try to pick up where you left off and pretend that they are genuinely interested in finding out the truth, and then suddenly they morph into these strange halfling-type creatures, you know, like the kind of, like, you know, like kind of cyborgs, except they're mindfuck Borg and half Johnny Five. But anyways, I wish for you the best. I'm posting this because some dude on the rant forum suddenly snapped and bitched me out for a gasp joking in the serious part of the forum, and it got me thinking. People should take the cause seriously, but not so serious that it removes all of humanity. They should all think for themselves, except for when I tell them to do something. Just a simple maintenance precaution. Peace and good work. Well, thank you very, very much, dude. I would have to say, now, on the whole thing about people getting really into me and stuff like that, I've had some people show up at my work and stuff like that, and it's interesting because when people show up to meet you, I'm not really offended by that, especially, you know, it's a little weird sometimes. They show up to meet me and you're like, hi, I really love you, you know, I love what you do, and I really respect you, you know, and I've got to learn to be graceful and be like, thanks, man, I really appreciate it, and then usually I ask them about what they do, and so on and so forth. So when it comes to the fans and everybody talking about that sort of stuff, I mean, most people who are, like, real celebrities, you know, they get, you know, the screaming fans and all that kind of jazz, which I don't really understand, like, the whole, I never imagine myself getting out of the limo to screaming teenagers. You know, that's not something that I really see myself doing. But that said, there are people who take me extremely seriously. And no matter how many times I talk about, you know, caffeine overdose or being Wiggy or building giant mecha or two-headed cats, they take me extremely, extremely seriously, and that is both good and bad. Now, if you're a listener out there, you got to bear in mind that once again, as I carry on and repeat the same slogan over and over again, I am just some guy. I'm some guy who lives online and takes in a lot of data, and maybe I got a bit more gray matter than some other people, but I've got a lot less than a lot few other people. So you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of, sometimes I'm wrong, and it's about a journey. People who are not leaders, right, like this guy here, he sent this in. Okay, if you're a leader, lead. If you're a follower, follow until you feel strong enough to lead, and then you lead. You see how that works? Right? I mean, the whole idea here is to build a species of leaders so that all of us as wogs can fix the planet. And if you happen to take, there is no centralized point of leadership. We cannot have leadership. This is why I did not side with the Wog Coalition. This is why I have not started another support group, because they will fall apart. Everything goes pushing behind one point. You must not do that. You must have distributed action. It must be all individuals or small cells until they grow strong enough that they can lead on their own, and then they leave the nest and they go out and do the same thing. My focus is on what I do, and there's people who pay attention to what I do. If you want to help me, great. Hand out some CDs. Give them out to people, because that's the best thing you can do, is give out the show, spread the virus. That's the best thing you can do. But if you think I'm like some all-authorial messiah, give your head a shake, Jack. I'm just some dude. I don't know ya, right? But I do know you because I know of what you've experienced and what you've gone through and stuff like that, because we've all chewed the same dirt. My thing that sets me apart from most other people is I've suffered a lot. I've seen a lot of the strange world, and I'm not going to give up. I'm 31 years old. I still believe in the future. I still want to get wet-wired and turn into a cyberpunk, and I'm not going to quit. So everybody else who wants to sell out and just roll up their toes and say, oh, well, I'll get my job at Starbucks, you go ahead and do that. You go ahead and do that. And when I get the mecha going, I'll swing back around and pick you up. Nobody's left behind. Now, on to sort yourself out. Well, to begin, a bit of backstory. Dear Sean. Actually, it should be, Dear Sean, well, to begin, a bit of backstory. You see, my home life, as to put it bluntly, shit. My parents are divorced, yet my dad lives here, while my mom is trying to get the house we're moving into sorted out. My dad isn't even supposed to be here. My grandmother finds out we're fucked, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is this. So it's bad family dissolution. You see, my father has this really bad tendency to bring, to try, sorry, let's try that again. You see, my father has this really bad tendency to bring true scum to our house. One piece of scum he dealt with was this one bastard who tried to make our life a living hell for a few days by sending fake social workers here. Wow, you're in a really good spot here, Chief. Aside from that, he's brought all this unknown junk in here and subsequently gotten rid of it, but it has brought filth. He refuses to clean it up. By filth, I mean roaches, ants, all sorts of things, and he hasn't put an effort to kill them, while I have also. We happen to have seven cats, and he's piled up all these boxes, which appear to be scrap on top of the cat's litter boxes. I've done the best I can, but alone, yeah. He's also let the plumbing get into the state of disrepair. This guy sounds like a real piece of shit, man. No offense, your dad's fucked up. Only a few minutes ago, I completely blew up at him since all he does is lay there. Now he's threatening to leave, and once more, the two are arguing again. I feel like complete and total shit, and I have no idea what to do. He's a deadbeat, yes, but he's still my father, and I don't want to lose him. I know this sounds like some teenage bullshit, and it's really kicking my ass mentally and spiritually, even physically, because I feel so depressed due to it. I just stay on my machine. Please withhold my name if you read this on the show. I will do that. Now, on this particular issue of Sort Yourself Out, I'm really glad you sent me this email, man, because I have the solution. It's like this, and there's going to be a lot of people who get pissed off at me for this one, but here it goes. Now, there are people out there who are adopted. There are people out there that have bad family lives. I was one of them. My dad is a freak show. All right? Now, what you got to do is you got to realize that, you know, it's all summed up in this one line here. He's a deadbeat, yes, but he's still my father. What the fuck does that mean? That does not mean a goddamn thing. He's a guy who contributed some DNA for you to be an individual. Now you are an individual. You need to turn off the box, isolate yourself in your room, and do some hardcore thought meditation for a while to realize that you are your own individual. If this guy wants to leave, that's a blessing, dude. That totally is. The guy's obviously a scumbag. Get him the fuck out of your house. And when he's gone, put up the rotating gun so he can't come back. Your mom is going to be needing you because she's going through some heavy shit right now. Okay? Because obviously she's trying to get this house. She's got a child. She wants to look after it. There's a lot of stress going on mom right now. And if she's not on meds, she's going to be thinking about getting some pretty fucking quick. Dad, scumbag. Fuck off. If he keeps bringing scumbags by the house, good. They fuck off. You got to get kind of bloody-minded about this sort of thing. This is your family, yes. So you got a parent who cares and a parent who doesn't, so fuck the parent who doesn't. And there's nothing that makes me more nuts. Well, there are a few things that make me more nuts, but there's the one thing that makes me really fucking psycho is this bizarre obsession with, they're my parents, so I... No, you fucking don't! They don't mean shit! I'm sorry, but they don't. It's just a matter of realizing that some people should not have children, and you are the product of people who should not have had children. So what do? Well, you can either mope around and be sad, or get fucking angry. Tie into your rage. Take a lesson from Darth Maul. I swear to God, man, that guy had that shit sorted out. How many people out there watched the first episode of Star Wars there? And when they were sword fighting, you know, Liam Neeson there and Ray Parker's as Darth Maul and Qui-Gon, they were all fighting. And then the force field went up, you know, and Qui-Gon knelt down and was like all trying to center himself. And then Darth Maul was pacing back and forth on the other side of the force field. Each one of those has its use. Now, the Qui-Gon thing is very, very nice to say centered and focused and all that kind of shit, but it doesn't really match when you've got all the psychological metal flying through the air in a situation like that. So, you know what? If the Qui-Gon method isn't working, go for Darth Maul. Pace back and forth on the inside of the force field, man. Get your lightsaber out and realize, you know what? This is how it's going to work. All you've got to do is get your dad the fuck out of the house. And if he's not the fuck out of the house, then you talk to your mom and see how you can get the fuck out of the house. This relationship, which you are currently involved in with your father, is toxic. There is nothing positive that can come from it. Therefore, cut the cancer out. So is your father. That and 50 cents will get you a cup of fucking coffee. Beyond that, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing. You are your own person. Don't put up with this shit. If the guy's a deadbeat and won't even look after his fucking wife, then fuck him. You have got a responsibility to your mom and a responsibility to yourself. That's what I got to say. But hey, I could be wrong. Let's get into the news. In communication demonization news. This was sent to me by Tech as he was scratching some glass with some diamond rings. Internet porthole Yahoo shut down its user-created chat rooms after a television news series showed the online service used an apparent attempts to exploit children for sex. Now, this is just a nice cover because Yahoo wanted to shut down its chat rooms. Yahoo spokeswoman Mary Osako would not say whether the decision was a response to a series on the Houston television station KPRC that showed online discussions bearing titles such as 9 to 17-year-olds wanting sex and girls 12 and under for older guys. Ah, some of Yahoo's advertisers, such as PepsiCo Incorporated and State Farm Insurance Company, said yesterday they pulled their advertising from the site because of the series. Ah, so you see how that works? Core Politicals controlling Yahoo. This is one of the reasons why you have to remain an individual and fight and push on your own so that you cannot be influenced by outside forces. We were completely unaware that our ads were associated with these chat rooms in any way, PepsiCo spokesman David Takeko said. And as soon as we found out, we worked with Yahoo to remove them immediately from the site. Well, way to demonize communication. Thanks so much. And in spyware news, this got sent to me by Wyandi, okay, as he was sitting in his room doing some really crazy hacking on a piece of satellite imagery that fell out of the sky. You know, sometimes I was really good up until I said the word imagery there. Unwanted software slithered into Patty McMahon's home computer over the internet and unleashed an annoying barrage of pop-up ads that sometimes flashed on her screen faster than she could close them. Who hasn't had this happen to them, eh? Annoying for sure, but the last straw came a year ago when the pop-ups began plugging such household names as JCPenney Company and Capital One Financial Corp, companies McMahon expected to know better. Didn't they realize that trying to reach people through spyware and its ad-delivered subset called Adware would only alienate them? It's irritating the heck out of me, McMahon said, a 45-year-old former corporate executive from Klamath Falls, Oregon. I took a week to take every piece of crap that was put on my computer. Every time I rebooted, it started to come up again. Well, that's because you don't know what the hell you're doing. Pop-up ads carried by spyware and Adware aren't just employed by fringe companies hawking dubious wares, such as those tricky messages that tell you your computer has been corrupted. You can count some big tech companies along with users, along with broadband phone providers, Vonage Holdings Corp., online employment agency Monster Worldwide Incorporated, and online travel agencies Expedia Incorporated, Priceline.com, and Orbitz. Everybody's getting in on the adware. Why? Because it's core political and it works, and they're only interested in the money. These companies acknowledged that they've used adware to reach potential customers, though they say they shun away from programs that monitor online surfing or extract personal information. So we'll just, you know, broadcast all of our shit to your computer, and that we're okay with that. But hey, we didn't want to actually, you know, try to, you know, you track you or anything. That's not going to be till later when we get you hooked up to a loyalty program where you collect little points on a card or some shit like that. Like the other day, okay, wife comes home. We bought some one of these Yives tofu dogs, right? I've got the tofu dogs on the go because ever since I read about the processed meat causing like 7,000% chance of pancreatic cancer, I'm like, right, no more hot dogs for me. So I swapped to tofu dogs. I'm not saying I eat tofu everything. I just eat tofu fucking dogs. I mean, they're pretty good, right? So anyway, I'm there, and they got this little sticker thing, and la, 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 la. And of course, my wife says, oh, you know, she likes doing all of the lotteries and all that stuff. She digs that crap. So I pull off the tab, give it to her, and I'm like, oh, you got to go to a website and check to see if we won. Aaron, go do this. So she's all happy. She runs into the other room and checks it out. She's gone for a while. You know, she's in there for a while, and I come stick the head in the door, and I says, hey, what are you doing? She goes, well, I had to go to my email to get, you know, the answer whether or not I won. I'm like, what? You gave them your email? And then I feel bad because she's like, yeah, so... You know, because the Dark One doesn't really know. Well, she's not nearly as paranoid as I am, I suppose, is a better way to put it. And I'm like, holy crap! Whatever happened to just popping the bottle cap off and seeing whether or not you won? Now you got to jump through hoops and go to their website and get advertising subjects. It's bullshit, man. I don't even think I'd if they don't say you win right away, and they say you got to check a website, fuck that, man. Don't even bother, like, buying the product, because all they're doing is farming you for information. Now, in a rare lives over profit news, check this out. Brazil has threatened to break the patent on anti-AIDS drugs in order to make cheaper generic versions for their people. Wow. Health Minister Humberto Costa said the price of Keletra drug was so high it represented a risk to public health. The government has given the U.S. company Abbott Laboratories 10 days to either agree to lower its prices or allow generic copies. Abbott said patients would lose out in the long run if Brazil went ahead with its threat. Fuck you, Abbott. You know how the hell? You know, you're charging money to keep people alive, you sick bastards. If Abbott doesn't make an adequate offer, Brazil will start producing generic drug at a state-run laboratory in Rio de Janeiro, Mr. Costa said. Again, I'm surprised they even asked. If I was running Brazil, I'd be like, you know what? Fuck you guys. And the corporate elites would be like, hey, you're taking our drugs and healing people. And I'd be like, yeah, that's what I'm doing right here. That's me. You can't do that. We'll sue you. Fuck you. We're not dealing with you. Well, we'll sue you again. Again, fuck you. We're not dealing with you. We're Brazil. We're a sovereign nation. Kiss my ass. We're going to send the army in there like Halliburton did in Iraq. Well, that remains to be seen, but not while this guy is screaming on the air, I'll tell you that. Chicago-based Abbott sent a statement that such a move would, quote, would put the government's desire to cut healthcare spending ahead of patients' needs for new and better treatments, end quote. What the fuck? They got like a couple of million people dying over there. Oh, pardon me. They have 600,000 people in the country dying from HIV and AIDS. And they're talking about fucking the long-term effects. These guys don't have long-term effects. Okay, they need action and they need it now. The company said it already sold drugs to Brazil at a financial loss. Yeah, fuck you, guy. How much does it cost to produce drugs? Your production cost is all in R&D. Don't give me that shit. But it said it was willing to work with the government to find a mutually agreeable solution. How about this? How about we disband your company, take all of your patents, and make them public? That way, maybe 10, 20 people suffer, and we save 600,000 lives just in Brazil. How about the greater good of all, outweighing the greater good of few or the one? How about that Star Trek shit? Thank you very much. And into FUD news that was sent in by Julius, the world faces an estimated 50% chance, ready for this? We got a coin toss. According to these U.S. authorities here, the world faces a 50% chance of biological, chemical, and radiological attack over the next 5 years, according to U.S. authorities. How in the Mickey Mouse fuck did you come up with that quote? Using a poll of 85 non-proliferation and national security experts, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee also estimated the risk of attack by weapons of mass destruction at 70% over the coming decade. Okay, so you got a 50% chance over the next 5 years, but in the next 10 years, there's a 70% chance. Could I have some more fear broadcast out to the American people? How long before people get sick of everyone crying wolf? How long before they go, you know what, if you're going to fucking nuke my ass, nuke it. If you're going to put me full of anthrax, go ahead. I hate to tell you this, but we're all in North America here, and if you're going to kill me, kill me. Don't fucking bore me to death with all these goddamn threats. The study was commissioned by a committee chairman, Richard Lugar, whose efforts in Congress have been credited with helping the states of the former Soviet Union lessen their stockpiles of weapons. Mr. Lugar said, for the foreseeable future, the U.S. and other nations will face an existential that's right, threat from terrorism and weapons of mass destruction. Sometimes words just trip me up. Well, you know, I mean, how many fucking weapons, like, okay, this, you know, sometimes I feel like a broken record. I really, really do. It's like, there was no outside terrorist attack, so we can't really be afraid of another outside terrorist attack. The entire 9/11 thing was orchestrated by our own government. Where's all these fucking terrorist attacks? The Oklahoma City bombing? Nice try, but they won't release the evidence. Tim McVeigh was yet another guy who wound up being a patsy. There's Middle Eastern connections. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody wants to go on with that. What the fuck? Yet, you know, I guess this is the big problem. In nanotech news, Skyburst sent this in. Two chemists from New York University, William B. Sherman and Nadrin C. Seaman, have created a DNA nanowalker with two legs, each one being about 10 nanometers long. A nanometer, I think, is a billionth the size of a meter. This nanoscale biped robot moves from one pair of anchors, strands of DNA, to another one. This is a major breakthrough for nanoscale manufacturing. And New Scientist says this opens a way for future nanoscopic robots, that will assemble other nanomachines or manipulate individual molecules. Yes, we're on our way to an assembler. Because previous similar molecule scale efforts have failed, what's the concept behind this breakthrough? The New York's team biped can walk because the DNA-based legs are able to detach themselves from DNA-based track and move along, then reattach themselves. Why DNA? First, unlike other polymers, DNA chains like to pair up. However, two DNA strands will only zip together if the sequence of bases on each strand complement each other in the right way. So by tweaking the sequences, chemists get a high degree of control where each strand attaches. Second, the researchers hope the cells can one day be engineered to manufacture these DNA-based machines. Nanotech. Something that can be used for good and something that can be used for evil. Something you want to watch to be very, very sure. Now, in Kill Your TV news... No, seriously, really, fucking kill your TV. If you're inside a building, a GPS receiver cannot find you. But a $40 radio chip from Rosum Corporation will do it with the help of TV signals. This startup says that TV signals are 10,000 times stronger than GPS signals, according to this article from Mercury News. Right now, these chips are at the prototype stage, but they are functional. But navigation products able to track an individual within a city should be available next year. Hear it on Newsreel first, baby. And Rosum even thinks to integrate these radio chips in future cell phones, which how much do you want to bet they're not going to tell you it's there? Meanwhile, the military envisioned to use this technology as a full GPS backup system or to track soldiers in dangerous environments. Obviously, privacy advocates warned that the technology could be used to locate and track people without their consent. Conversely, hackers could reverse engineer this to broadcast a signal at the wrong location. Therefore, you tell everyone you're on the floor below the one you're on or the floor above the floor you're on. Therefore, you could escape, things like that. Considering that one of Rosum's investors is InQtel, the investment arm of the CIA, we should look at this technology with caution. Great. So InQtel is actually the investment arm of the CIA. Did you know that? Well, the CIA is funding this wonderful chip tracking program. James Spilker, one of the original architects of the GPS satellite and founder of the Stanford Telecommunications, launched Rosum in 2000. Oh, good. With Stanford University engineering professor Matthew Rabanowitz. They realized a synchronization feature in the digital and analog television signals that can be used for other purposes than to lock the vertical hold for older TVs. The engineers created a radio receiver chip that could zero in on the TV signal and get the synchronization information. Using precision timing, they figured out how far a TV signal travels before it's picked up by a device equipped with the Rosum chips. Next, they compare the measurements and all the other data they collect with their own listening stations, and then finally calculate the device's position. The Rosum engineers call this process multilateralism, which is akin to navigational triangulation. To set up the system, customers have to put in the Rosum radio chips and modules and that house them into their equipment. These modules are about as big as a matchbook, cost about $40 to make right now, but it could become cheaper and smaller over time and high-volume production. You betcha. You give this to a bunch of guys in Taiwan, they'll have that bitch down to pen, like, battery size. One of the main computational tasks of these devices is to filter out the wrong signals, such as ghost images that have been reflected off of an object. So you can have a ghost signal that can be reflected off an object. This is why we need to make sure that we start building labs. If you do not have a lab in your dwelling right now, even if it's a closet where you keep tools and a soldering iron to modify equipment, now would be the time to start getting some basic electronics and robotics skills. Because let me tell you, this is some scary shit. When we're getting down to this level of tracking, and nobody's talking about it, and you can bank that the CIA is going to be getting everybody to put this into their phones, and they'll do it so that they, in case your phone is lost, we can find it. That's what they'll be saying. And in cybernetics news, this was sent in by Malcav. This is fucking cool. Jesse Sullivan has lost both his arms at the shoulders, but with the help of a prosthetic hand and a set of rewired nerves, he can now feel and sense hot and cold, almost as if he had real fingers. This is really the big stumbling block for bionics, the fact that we haven't been able to get nerves going on. And if you could do that and we can get this technology up there, who says you need bionics? What's to stop you from, say, throwing on a collar that sticks into your brainstem just before your, just below your, like around your neck, you know, just to the back of your spine there. And then you can broadcast all kinds of nerve impulses up into your head. There was some shit that was on the market a few years back called motionware, which tricked your inner ear, but then it fell away. No one else could find it. If you can find it again, let me know. But that's some interesting stuff that's floating around. A lot of Matrix-style SimSense. 2 years ago, experts thought this advance was at least a decade away. Now they see it as a leap forward in treating victims of stroke, lost limbs, and paralysis. Sullivan, 58, sees it as a step towards his fishing pole, which is tight. I mean, this guy just wants to go fishing. That's where I'm going with it, Sullivan said at a conference in Chicago. I think I'll be able to tie my own shoes, which is, you know, that really puts that shit in perspective when you got the 60-year-old guy who's like, yeah, it's cool, I don't understand shit about it, but now I can use my arms again. Sullivan grimmed at his doctor, Todd Kukin, director of amputee programs and rehabilitation institutes of Chicago, showed a video of Sullivan using his prosthetic hand to pick up eggs without breaking them. He could feel how tightly he had held the eggs. This reminds me of that scene in the beginning of Ghost in the Shell where Major Kusanagi didn't know how to work her body, so she broke her dolls. And she broke that doll in her hand because she didn't know how to use her prosthetic body. Of course, his setup is different from a typical person's. A lineman for the Tennessee Power Company, Sullivan is grabbing high-tension wires carrying 74,000 volts of electricity when he incinerated his arms. Now, this ties back to the story of the guy who's got the twin bionic arms. Same guy. Okay, but now they've got nerves in the bionic arms that pick it up. And I did not know that before. You may have known that the guy had bionic arms and prosthetic replacement. But did you know that it was actually having nerves put in there? That's very, very cool. I'm liking that a lot. So that kind of makes that story just a little bit sweeter for me. And talking about a sweet story, in mom news sent in by Malcav, taking the law into her own hands, a Spanish mother set fire to a man who raped her teenage daughter and allegedly taunted her about the result, the report said Tuesday. So guy rapes this girl, then starts taunting her about the fact that he raped her, and, and then I guess mom got pissed at that. The rapist, Antonio Cosme Valesco Soriano, who later succumbed to his injuries, had been sent to jail for 9 years in 1988, but was let out on a 3-day pass and returned to his home in his town of Benjuar, 50 kilometers south of Alquente in Costa Blanca. While there, he passed his victim's mother in the street and allegedly taunted her about the attack. He said to have called out, "How's your daughter?" before headed to a crowded bar, the Sunday Telegraph reported today. Shortly after, the woman walked into the bar, pulled a bottle of petrol over Sorino, and lit a match. She watched as the flames engulfed him before walking out. The woman fled to Alquente, where she was arrested the same evening. She appeared in court the next day in the town over Abrilia. She was cheered and clapped by a crowd who shouted, "Bravo and well done," the newspaper reported. A judge ordered her to be held in prison to undergo psychiatric tests, provoking anger from her friends and neighbors who have set up a petition calling for her release. Serrano suffered 60% burns on the attack on June 13 and later succumbed to injuries. Don't fuck with mom! Can you really fault the broad? I mean, really. If your daughter was raped and then the guy walked by you on the street, yeah, I'd probably follow him into the dark, dump gas all over him and light the fucker on fire. Yeah, you could charge me. Because whatever, this son of a bitch dies. Now, this story is not fake. It was sent to me by Sumerian, and he does his homework before he checks it out. This is the craziest fucking story ever. In Umbrella Corporation Dog News, scientists have created eerie zombie dogs, reanimating the canines after several hours of clinical death and attempts to develop suspended animation for humans. A dog is a very complex animal, and the fact that they've kept one dead for 7 hours and brought it back is massive news. Huge. U.S. scientists have succeeded in reviving dogs after 3 hours of clinical death, paving the way for trials on humans within years. They should be fucking doing trials within months. Pittsburgh's Safar Center for Resuscitation Research, wow, there's a place I would like to go, has developed a technique in which subjects' veins are drained of blood and then filled with an ice-cold salt solution. The animals are considered scientifically dead as they stop breathing and have no heartbeat or brain activity. So guess what? They're fucking dead. But 3 hours later, their blood is replaced and the zombie dogs are brought back to life with an electric shock. An electric shock, for fuck's sakes. How Frankenstein is that? Plans to test the technique on humans should be realized within a year, according to the Sephar Center. Plans to test the technique on humans. I thought it was like within years. Now, later on, they say within a year. Ah, within a year, maybe within months. However, rather than sending people to sleep for years, then bringing them back to life to benefit medical advances, the boffins would be happy to keep people in the state for just a few hours. But even if this should be enough to save lives, such as battlefield casualties and victims of stabbings or gunshot wounds who have suffered huge blood loss. Never mind that. If you've got a disease or something like that that's going to kill you and you got 7 days to live, you can either live out your 7 days or go in and lock down and ice the fuck out so that we can lock you up until, you know, your life insurance, you use your life. This is how it works, right? You get the disease. Hopefully you got some life insurance. If you don't got life insurance, I guess you're fucked. But if you've got life insurance, this is the way you play this. Sir, Mr. Kennedy, you only have 7 days to live. Fuck! And as I'm, you know, going through my armored car robbery plans, he says, well, there's another option here. We can ice you the fuck out using this thing here, right? And we lock you up and basically drop you in a cryostasis chamber for God knows how long until we figure out how to cure the problems you've got. Your money gets invested into, like, funding and shit like that. All the WOGs make sure that the cash stays going or whatever. You know, you come up with some methods so the money keeps building. And then later on, I could be thawed out, have nanites go through my body, cure whatever damage is there, or I do a mind upload so that I keep my body solid. You see what I'm saying? That's what the real use of this thing is. That's a really hot idea. Now, Judas sent in this story about a nuclear leak. A Japanese power plant worker has inadvertently leaked nuclear secrets onto the web thanks to a virus infection. The unnamed employee, who is probably in the heart of darkness right now, had stored about 40 megs of confidential reports on his home PC. 40 fucking megs. When the system was infected and a virus and the details were leaked. Okay, well, that seems kind of weird that a virus would leak files. Maybe we're not really thinking clearly here. Maybe this guy's brought, like, why would a guy bring 40 megs of sensitive documents to his house, leak them from his house, and then claim a virus did it? You know what I mean? That's a good way to kind of cover your tracks. If you were selling the data, you come out honestly and say, look, no, it was taken from my computer. That way you get punished for bringing home the data versus selling secrets. The data is said to have been distributed to users of the Winnie peer-to-peer system, the most popular file-sharing network in Japan. So it wasn't a virus. He put it on his peer-to-peer network, and then somebody downloaded it, so it's got nothing to do with viruses. If you allow your employees to put sensitive company data on their home computers, you're running the risk that they will not be as well defended as in PCs within your organization, said Graham Cluley, a senior technology consultant at Sophos, which is in the no-duh category. Security at power plants should be at an all-time high, but it needs to extend beyond the physicality of barbed wire and high walls to encompass the information security, too. Sites referred to in the leaked data include Kansai's electrical power, Mihami's nuclear power plant, and a power station in Tsuruga. Man, I'm sorry, I'm fucking up these names. As well as pressurized water reactors in Tomai and Sendai. Authorities have been quick to reassure the public that it does not believe the information leaked was directly related to radioactive substances. So what's the problem then? I guess this is yet another attempt to say, look, file sharing's bad because it's stealing secrets, I guess, or something like that. I don't really know. Why would you care? Anyway, but following that, in Nukem All News, sent to me by Deadcoat, the United States plans to produce highly radioactive plutonium-238 for the first time since the Cold War, the New York Times reported on Monday. Why would the United States want to produce plutonium-238? Why would they do that? What would be the reason? First time since the Cold War, why would they want to do that? The newspaper quoted project managers as saying most, if not all, the new plutonium was intended for secret missions. Oh, so you're producing plutonium-238 for secret missions, which we don't know about. But these are the same plutonium that you used to make small fucking suns on my planet. The officials would not disclose details, because they're secret missions. But the newspaper said the plutonium in the past powered espionage devices. Espionage devices? Like, what kind of espionage devices uses plutonium-238? Not to fucking toot my own horn here, but I happen to know a little bit about espionage devices. Kind of a hobby of mine. It's what happens when you watch too many goddamn James Bond movies. Does anybody out there know of any fucking espionage device that happens to use plutonium-238? I mean, really. The Times said Timothy Fraser, head of radioisotope power systems at the U.S. Energy Department, vigorously denied in a recent interview any of the classified missions would involve nuclear arms, satellites, or weapons in space. I think that Timothy Fraser is either lying or he hasn't been told the truth. The real reason we're starting production is for national security, Fraser was quoted as saying. Wow, what the fuck does that mean? National security? Excuse me. Why in the world would you need to start producing some archaic plutonium for national security since the Cold War? This is like the 50s, guys. Very, very sick. The officials at the Energy Department won't even talk about it. But, of course, you know, we're still producing plutonium-238. The program, which the newspaper had said raised concerns among environmentalists, yeah, and everybody else who happens to have seen the movie or the documentary Fog of War, and if you have not downloaded and checked out that documentary, The Fog of War, you need to acquire Fog of War and watch that. That'll really kind of bring back, you know, the knowledge of what nukes are all about. Okay, if you haven't seen that, make sure you acquire the documentary Trinity, the atomic bomb movie. Very, very important. Captain Kirk walks you through the entire fucking series of what exactly nuclear bombs are. And in case you really want to get yourself into a good, you know, Twilight 2000 apocalyptic thread, go find a movie, an old movie called Threads. It was one of the nuclear war scare films that, you know, maybe we should air again since, you know, people are kind of getting into this plutonium-238 thing. Okay, Threads, the movie is called. As close as you want to come to nuclear war. No doubt there will be a link to it on my journal. The program, this is that plutonium-238 program, which the newspaper said had raised concerns among environmentalists, would produce 330 pounds, over 150 kilograms, over 30 years at the Idaho National Laboratory. The program would cost $1.5 billion and generate over 50,000 drums of hazardous radioactive waste, federal officials told the Times. 50,000 drums of hazardous radioactive waste for 330 pounds. Pounds of this plutonium. Okay. And this is for national security. How are you going to distribute 330 pounds of this plutonium over the entire nation? Okay, obviously you're building devices with this. Because what can you possibly do with 330 pounds of anything? You're not enough to make, you know, mass production of espionage devices unless it's a really fucking expensive espionage. What are you building, like Uberbug? Or is this more for espionage devices, maybe for this new batteries? Remember they were talking about those nuke-powered batteries that lasted like 10 years? Maybe they're taking this plutonium, building nuclear batteries, and then using that to power satellites or other spy technology. Or maybe they're just making bigger and badder nukes. Now, we all know that there's suitcase nukes, so what's to prevent a satellite from, say, taking a device that looks like a missile? You know, you put a satellite up there, it's got six of these backpack nukes on it, right? The backpack nukes are put into these weird teardrop shapes. So, hear me out. You got these backpack nukes up there, right? You got a bunch of math heads down here, and they decide, you know what, we're going to fucking do a backpack nuclear strike on this country. So what they do is anytime they want a weapon of mass destruction, they'll find some area, drop a backpack nuke on their own country, make sure everybody's cleared out, and they go, look at that! A backpack nuke was used. We have to get rid of all nuclear weapons, and we destroyed a huge section of America. You see, now they don't need to crash a plane anymore because a plane won't do it anymore. They're going to have to step up bigger. That's why they did the Oklahoma City bombing. Not enough reaction. So they stepped it up, and they crashed a couple planes into the buildings. Well, the next time, what do you suppose they're going to do? What do you suppose they're going to do? They're going to prime us right now. They'll set off a nuke in a city. You're fucking rights they are. They won't do it in a major city, but they'll do it in a place to scare the fuck out of everybody, kill a few unwanted. Like, let's say they were to drop this nuke in the downtown projects in Los Angeles, right? We haven't been attacked on that coast yet. So we got New York and L.A. That's where I think I'd go. I'm thinking East Coast. So you go to L.A., put a nuke right in the central area of where all these protesters are and stuff like that, and you nuke them. So, you know, wait for the right time, and you kill all of these protesters and people. The government, of course, stands up and goes, oh my God, and all the army goes rushing in there to save protesters, thereby winning the hearts and minds of your protesters, and of course, infuriating the nation. You see how all this works? Plutonium-238 is hundreds of times more radioactive than plutonium-239, which is used in nuclear arms. So why are they making it? According to a newspaper, medical experts say inhaling even a speck poses a serious risk of lung cancer, the Times said. The newspaper said plutonium-238 had no central role in nuclear arms, but it's valued for its steady heat and could be turned into electricity. Nuclear batteries made for it to power spacecraft go where sunlight is too dim to generate energized solar cells. Well, if you're building deep probe space aircraft, then you wouldn't really need to make it all secret, would ya? Federal and private experts not connected to the project were quoted as saying the new plutonium would likely power devices for espionage under the sea and on land. Very interesting, especially if we're trying to come up with some new stuff for tanks or maybe a new bio-combat droid. Today's daily hack is something that can only help you. It's a way for you to master your memory. And it was sent to me by Ghostless. Welcome to the Master Memory Trainer course, all free. This course has three main aims: to demonstrate the enormous power of human memory and to show that the memory ability is a skill which can be learned. You teach yourself how to dramatically improve your memory. Very, very cool. Check this out. Handy to use with Liptropics. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. Forleet, Alan, Drood, Y, Simmeru, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Weblife, Philip, Paradin, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Derek, Joseph, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. Thank you so much for all your donations. And very soon I'm going to be having a new list to read out. New subscribers for this past month were Ed, Jennifer, Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you so much for subscribing. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. No digital baptisms. If you want a digital something digitally baptized, or you want an online name, drop me a line and I'll throw a name out there at ya. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance for gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's Newsreal at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to check out BioVital, the album by BioVital. Okay, let's try that again. The album by a group called BioVital. The album is named Decoded Feedback. Very, very cool. And I'm going to leave you with a song sent in by Kizzle. The song is by a group called Atmosphere, and it's known as Scapegoat. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
It's the caffeine, the nicotine, the milligrams of tar. It's my habitat. It needs to be cleaned. It's my car. It's the fast talk they use to abuse and feed my brain. It's the cat box. It needs to be changed. It's the pain. It's women. It's the plight for power. It's government. It's the way you're giving knowledge slow with thought control and subtle hints. It's rubbing it, itching it. It's applying cream. It's the foreigners sightseeing with high beams. It's in my dreams. It's the monsters that I conjure. It's the marijuana. It's the embarrassment, displacement. It's where I wander. It's my genre. It's Madonna's videos. It's game shows. It's cheap liquor, blunts. It's bumper stickers with rainbows. It's angels, demons, gods. It's the white devils. It's the monitor, the sound man. It's the motherfucking mic levels. It's gas fumes, fast food, Tommy Hill, Mommy's Pill, Columbia House, Music Club, Designer Drugs, and Rhyming Thugs. It's Bloods, Crips, Fives, Six. It's Stick Up Kids, it's Christian Conservative Terrorists. It's Porno Flicks, it's the East Coast, no, it's the West Coast. It's Public Schools, it's Asbestos, it's Mentholated, it's Techno, it's Sleep, Life, and Death. It's Speed, Coke, and Meth, it's Hay Fever, Pain Relievers, Oral Sex, and Smoker's Breath. It stretches for as far as the eye can see. It's reality, fuck it, it's everything but me. On and on and on and on, the list goes on and on and on and on. The list goes on and on and on and on. The list goes on and on and on and on.
It's all according to life on a whole. It's all according to life on a whole.
the water, it's in the air, it's in the meat. It's indirect, indiscreet, it's inconsistent, incomplete, it's in the streets. Every city, everywhere you go, and every man, it's the insanity, the fantasies, the casualties. It's the healthcare system, it's welfare victims, it's assault weapons, it's television religion, and it's false lessons. It's cops, police, pigs with badges, guns and sticks. It's harassment and a complex you carry when you're running shit. It's wondering if you get to eat. It's the heat, it's the winter, the weather, it's herpes and it's forever. It's the virus that takes the lives of weak and the strong. It's the drama that keeps on between me and my seeds, mom. It's the need to speak wrong. It's that hunger for attention. It's the whack who attacks songs of redemption. It's prevention. It's the first solution. It's loose. It's out for retribution. It's mental pollution and public execution. It's the nails that keep my hands and feet to these boards. It's the part-time job that governs what you can afford. It's the fear. It's the faith. It's clear it can make time stop and leave you stranded in the year of the snake. It's the dollar. Yeah. Pound, it's all denominations. It's hourly wages for your professional observations. It's on your face and it's in your eyes. Everything you beat, cause it ain't me, motherfucker, cause it ain't me. On and on and on and on. The list goes on and on and on and on. The list goes on and on and on and on. The list goes on and on.